Welcome to Sarah and T, the podcast that focuses on professional vacation rental management. Brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, located in the mountains of Colorado, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services on the coast of North Carolina and Virginia. Separately, Sarah and T manage more than 600 vacation rental properties and are regarded as two of the top experts on vacation rental management. Together, they bring you this podcast to share their experience, have some fun, and let you know that you are not alone in this crazy business of providing short-term rentals to the public. Now, for the next 30 minutes or so, get ready to have some fun and maybe learn something. Here's our hosts, Sarah and T.
We're back and better than ever. It's 2022, Sarah.
Wow. Have you heard the joke about it's 2022? Like, oh no, it's 2022.
No, please. We don't need another one of those. Oh my Lord. So do you make your New Year's resolutions, by the way?
No, I make predictions like I did with you, but we do it as a family about what's going to happen that year.
Yeah, the poor queen. She has no idea what's going to happen to her this year. Golly. Well, I'm not a big resolver either. I do goals, and I know a lot of folks out there thinking about what can be done differently. And today, we're going to tackle something I've not heard anyone in vacation rentals discuss before. And it's most likely because it's nuanced and it's not that obvious. But we struggle with this weekly. The topic is process consistency and rolling out that big idea, only to find out it's morphed into a big mess down the road. A lot of businesses, especially small ones like ours, operate daily with processes that, quite honestly, not quite as organized as they should be. Maybe they have a lack of consistency and they're inefficient. But by God, it's the new year and we're going to do this.
Oh, that would never be me, Tim. We come up with so many good ideas for our businesses, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
And we are, I don't want to put this on you, but I am definitely guilty, as I'm sure many managers, vacation rental company owners out there are, of saying, hey, I have an idea. Let's do this. Okay, do it. Thanks. Great. Okay, it's done. Okay, bye. And then we think it's set for life and the problem's resolved. I mean, we're all good. The toilet paper is always going to be turned. So you pull it from the top and it's put in that nice little triangle shape forevermore. But then we go out in the field 3 months later and we see that that great idea that we implemented has gone to like an awkward, messy, or inconsistent, not correct at all, because really there's a lack of what we're going to talk about, which is process consistency. Now, don't turn us off yet. This is not going to be boring. And you know you're all guilty of it a little bit because the vacation rental industry is complicated, right? And there's so many things we have to be consistent to get it right.
And I think you hit it on the head there, Sarah. Just want to drive it home. It really doesn't matter the scale of the project, whether it's a small thing or whether it's a huge thing. If you don't have a process where you can put it in place, make sure it's working, and feel like everything, all those boxes are checked, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And so, Tim, we're going to talk about some fun examples of these so everybody can think, oh, yeah, I had that one. Or you can add your own in your mind or on Facebook. And then we're going to talk about ways you can stop this frustrating cycle and only implement truly good ideas and then implement them in a way that will last and will work correctly ongoing at your company, not just for the first week. It's almost like the game of telephone. I think of that a lot. It's like we start off with this one thing perfectly how we want it. And then 6 months later, it's gone into this strange process that doesn't work because somebody didn't tell somebody how it's supposed to go.
I've got so many examples. Oh, my Lord. Just looking at myself, but you and I strategized on some of these. And it can be big stuff. It can be little stuff. One of the things you said was meat and cheese being delivered to luxury properties. That can't possibly go wrong, right?
Yeah, it's so simple. We just order them for these certain properties. The lady's going to bring them. She's going to put them in the refrigerator at the perfect moment at our offsite. Yes. And somehow the inspector is going to perfectly know to take that in their car and then beautifully set that up in the fridge with the wine, even if the shelves in the fridge are not big enough to fit the wine. How's that all going to go?
That one hit a little close to home, I think. And yeah. And no professional cleaner ever took the wine or the cheese. Did they?
No.
Ever happened. How about tea and coffee service?
That's going to be so easy. So we've always given coffee, right? And my husband drinks tea a lot. So I was like, let's add tea. And then we also, it's annoying we don't have creamer. Like, what if you haven't been to the store yet? So we should put those little creamers there. And we should also put like some sugar packets. So that'll be easy. Just buy that stuff and put that there. And then it's all good, right?
Certainly. Could not go wrong.
No, it would never be that the tea happens to be in these little silver holders and the inspectors forget to look in those. And so there's one left when 30 people arrive to the house, or that they don't have creamers with them. So they forget to put them there. So there's just one creamer left, which looks so chintzy, or that the whole box, the little tray that holds them all, is used for something completely else in the property and gets lost. And so the tea is like laid out on the counter.
That's fantastic. I've got a couple right off. So the professional cleaners come to pick up their pack outs in the nice blue logoed bag with all of the clean material in the blue bag. And we don't want anything dirty to ever touch the blue bag. So we put an orange bag and a yellow bag inside the blue bag. So when they get to the property and they have dirty, they know that the towels go in the yellow bag. The dirty towels go in here and the dirty sheets go in the orange bag. That never fails.
Oh, yeah, never. Because the cleaner you just got yesterday, because she's so desperate for cleaners, I'm sure she was absolutely trained on those colors and wrote that down. And then they're also very clear that all of the things they don't have to use, since maybe there were clean towels left in the property or a whole bed wasn't used, a bunk, they're very clear that they put all that clean stuff they brought back in the blue bag and they restock it when they come back to the laundry.
That's right. And they never use any of that material to help clean the house.
No.
Like, they would never use a bath towel to wipe a floor.
No.
Or a hand towel to clean the kitchen sink.
No.
Never happens.
Okay.
Or another one this past year was great. So we were concerned about loss of washcloths, face cloths, if you will. Ladies doing their makeup, for whatever reason, I don't know what kind of chemicals there are that you guys put on your face that will not come off of a white washcloth.
Easy. It takes a lot to be this beautiful.
I know. Wow. I didn't know you're risking your life with some of this, these chemicals. But at any rate, I've got a great idea. Let's do makeup remover wipes, and we can put them in these little packages with our logo on them, and people will use them, and the washcloths will be pristine. It's not like we didn't have anybody use them. I think there were 3 people that used them out of 6,000 guests.
Yeah, because here's the weird thing about women. We will put all those chemicals on us to look pretty, but when we go to wash our face, we are not going to put some cheap little packet of wash material on our precious cheeks. But we use these black cloths because that's disgusting, right? Like, because you know the reason they're black is because they have stains on them. And that's why we're using that for makeup. And it says like makeup cloth. But now you're making me paranoid because I need to go back and look at, are people even using those?
Well, I've got about 6,000 makeup removers with my logo on them if you'd like them.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll put them in all of our properties. I'm going to tell you one more. You know how I brag so much about, we have this welcome note to our guests and it says like, welcome Cafferty's, and it's supposed to really clearly say their name. And oh, and then also there's this part that says, this was cleaned by blank. This was inspected by blank, because I want the cleaner and the inspector to take ownership when they sign that. Okay. I took my eye off the ball. And it's come to the fact now that somehow the signage has become one piece of paper that there's no way the cleaner could ever have, because you have to write the name on it. So the inspector brings it and just writes down maybe who cleaned it. And then the inspector name is not even written. And found out that the people that work in my office, who are lovely, wonderful people, don't have good handwriting. And oh, so they've been writing it like child, like chicken scratch, welcome to Cafferty's. And the one I saw the other day, they now are trying to print it, and it's a green letter, a red letter, a green letter, a red letter. It looks horrific.
Kind of like the holiday spirit.
I'm like, where's the beautiful calligraphy, welcome Cafferty's?
It was a great idea, though. As many of these are, we could go on. I think people love it when we tell them our fails, and we are telling our fails today. Okay, I got one on a bigger scale. I use a particular software for our property management, which does the bookings and the accounting and all this sort of thing. And then last year, I was wooed to an additional software that the salesperson said, oh, yeah, that absolutely works with that software. You're going to love it. It's an operational software. You know, we could do this and this and this and this. 2 months into the deal, after we're too far along, I figure out, well, this software won't talk to that software, so I can actually generate an invoice on anything we do over here. So we've got dual entry. Had to hire two new people for the software that I got that was going to be so much better.
Two people?
Two. 10,000 work orders had to be manually entered twice.
Right, because we believe these salespeople. They probably believe themselves that it works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it works. No problem.
Oh, that is painful. Or how about when you talk to anybody that's in reservations or guest experience and you really ask them, how's it going? And they go, well, it's good. It's good. And you're like, do you do anything that seems kind of crazy or silly? And they're like, yeah, I mean, we run this report and then we have to pull it out and export it to Excel. And then we have to sort it 7 different ways. And then we have to re-import it and then export it and then bold it and then, right?
Yeah.
Like, wait, what?
Okay. I think we really did the groundwork.
Okay.
We'd love to hear other stuff that you guys have out there that you thought was going to work, but maybe it didn't work. And so what we want to do here is make sure we give you an idea about how you can roll out new tech or processes and procedures the right way so you can have success.
Yeah. So we did some research, right, Tim? We went out into the World Wide Web. We went away from vacation rentals, and we looked at, you guys aren't going to believe this, but other companies outside of the vacation rental industry also have this problem.
No.
Yes.
Say it isn't so. Oh, my gosh.
Who has gone to Chipotle recently and not had their burrito made the way they usually have it made?
I didn't notice that. What's going on there?
Oh, I have. They're like not rolling it right. It's busting out of the foil. They don't put the right amount of rice on. I mean, think about the consistency you need on stuff like that. So we have come up with some key ways that the world says, and we agree with, that you can roll out these new little ideas you have or big tech in the right way. And the first one is stakeholder buy-in. And I am the most guilty of this because this is how I go. Oh, gosh, we should do a meat and cheese plate. Everyone's hungry. I know a woman that makes it. Awesome. Hey, Al, we're going to do meat and cheese. I got it for this amount. Okay, great. Thanks.
Yay.
Never.
That's done.
Yeah. Never do I go to the housekeepers and the inspectors and also talk with guest experience. Who should get the meat and cheese plate? How would that work? How many are there of them? How are we going to budget for this? I just say, Melina, add that to the budget. I want to do it, right? So all these different people that I should be speaking to at our company. So even if we are going to do it, they accept it and are excited about it. You got to talk to your stakeholders.
Mm-hmm. So you and I are aware of this thing called the predictive index. We actually have exactly the same personality types, believe it or not, as different as we are. We are both what they consider mavericks.
Ooh.
It's like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
We're going this way, right? And so we have to be cognizant of this because, frankly, one of the people in our industry is now doing this now. Steve Trover told me he has an inordinate number of mavericks that run vacation rental firms. So you and I are not unique. I know we are special, no question, but there are many of you out there listening right now going, I don't get it. What do you mean? That doesn't work? Yep. You just can't say, we're going this way, everybody. You have to have buy-in. And so I have actually been cognizant of this the last couple of years. And so I've tried to roll things out slowly and maybe poll the audience. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Now, don't make any mistake, as my staff is listening and chuckling right now, we're still going to do what I said. But at least I get buy-in before we do it.
And you
really need to get the stakeholders in.
You might get some ideas of how this might fail that you can prepare for ahead of time or make you think twice. And I bet Steve Trover would say that a lot of the Mavericks don't realize that their staff are afraid to tell them that the idea kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Right? They think we're just going to steamroll it anyway.
Yeah, that's a great point, because we were talking in the pre-call here. A lot of times staff is reluctant to give you feedback because they're afraid of repercussion, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You're not doing it right, obviously.
Yeah, they're afraid of us, even though I don't think I have repercussion when someone tells me an idea sucks. So yeah. You have to be aware of that. Meet with your staff. Even the littlest thing, get their buy-in, talk it out. Don't seem like it's a foregone conclusion that that's something you're going to do.
I'm going to jump on this one more time just to flog this horse. I was talking to the general manager of a prominent firm today about implementing this open book management thing that I do, and we've talked about many times, even on this podcast. The owner of the company, very reluctant to do it because they fear change, and that's probably going to be on this list too, about why should we change? This person had rolled out the idea to some of the staff in advance, and the owner heard about it and were like, wait a minute. You didn't tell them, did you?
Oh my God.
It's like, no, we need to let them know this is coming down the road and get their opinion. And here's the good news. Everybody loved the idea, owner. I thought of that as you're talking about this particular thing.
Yeah.
It's not a unique problem.
No, and don't be afraid of your staff. Okay, number two, after you get stakeholder buy-in, there's another really key point here, Tim. What is that?
Well, to me, it says lost in translation. It's communication. Communicate early and often the need for why we're doing this and the feedback, and make sure they know WIIFM, what's in it for me. You got to make sure they understand it. You've communicated it, over-communicated it.
Yeah, and get them pumped up about it. The lost in translation is also about new staff, and that goes to your green and red and yellow bags. We are churning and burning right now, right? We're growing. We have new employees starting all the time. Sometimes they start in a very busy week, maybe, of guests coming and going. And if you don't have things written down, which we're going to get to here in a minute, then the new staff, how in the world are they going to know that they're supposed to put the guest name on the card and it's supposed to look this certain way, right? That just gets lost in translation. And that's how you have this game of telephone going on. So really, I'm just going to jump to it. I believe you have to have more written policies and procedures than you have right now, I bet, for most of you. And mm-hmm. Everyone understands and adheres to them. I love having photos as an example, that especially because a lot of our staff who are cleaning, some of our inspectors, they don't speak perfect English. So you can't just rattle off a bunch of stuff they're supposed to do one day and they remember forever. But having photos helps them compare to what they're doing.
The other thing I think of when you talk about the procedures and writing it down, use imagery. There is nothing like a picture. Even if it's a screenshot of what you're trying to get done. I remember, again, telling on ourselves, you guys shake your heads all you want. I know you have the same damn problems out there. I had a new reservation sales agent, and there's this item on there called source code. How did you hear about us? And every time, same answer. Do not know. Do not know. Do not know. And so I asked, you don't know how any of these people heard about us? Oh, no. Sally told me that's what we do.
Oh, my gosh.
We just put do not know.
But see, now that points out the next thing I wanted to mention that we all have to get better at. Yeah. And that is not setting it and forgetting it, right? Mm-hmm. So if I don't ever look into the process and say, they're putting cleans in the dirty bags. Or you don't ever look at the, how did you find out about us? And you say, everyone's putting did not know. Then no one gets called out on anything, whether they're meaning to hide the dirties, the cleans in the dirty bag, or they didn't even know they weren't supposed to. Accountability is vital. And if you don't go out and look at all the things you've implemented and see how it's going, ask about it, but also just see it in the wild, as we call it, then you shame on us, right?
You're exactly right. And you've alluded to the next point, and that is go and ask and find out yourself. You've been doing inspections yourself here the last few weeks, I know, Sarah, and also the reservations team. I wouldn't know about did not know unless I went down and spoke to them. You have to ask for that feedback. What's working? What isn't working?
Yeah. I mean, going and doing an inspection of your property, I can't recommend anything more other than staying in one of the properties you manage. When I inspect, I take pictures the whole time I'm there so that I go back and remember all the things that my mind was doing when I was in there, because I see so much stuff. I hate to say it because I think we run a really great company, but I just see things like, oh my gosh, the owner still has that rug I told him to get rid of, or ew, this pillow is not up to standard, or I just see all the inconsistencies, and I think the staff gets a little nervous when I inspect. But it also makes me realize what is not going right, process and procedure out there in the field. And that's the only way I think you can improve, or your general managers out there too, or your owner manager, you know, get some higher up managers out there and popping into properties to see what's really going on. As far as software and software use, that's where we need to be asking staff for feedback of what's working and what's not.
So, and do a great demo on it. Make sure you test it out before you put it in place.
Yes.
The other thing, I don't know where it fits, but I forgot to say it and I'm going to put it in here. When you're doing this, we talked about written procedures. We talked about photos. Also accommodate the different learning styles of the people who are going to be out there. You talked about language barriers. Make sure you have that covered. Color coding. Some people are more, let me read it. But one thing you need to do is make sure you're testing it. So let's say it's a new procedure. I'm thinking of one that's very basic. Down in our warehouse area, we had these chemical bottles. And the assistant on Saturday morning's job was to make sure we had X amount of window cleaner and or whatever the case might be. We had an issue of it running down, not keeping up with it. Well, you know, I thought I had enough. I thought I had 8 bottles. So we actually put tape across this table. Okay, when you get to the green, we're good. When you get to this yellow tape, which we put a piece of yellow tape about 3 inches or 4 inches behind the green tape, that means danger. And when you get to the red, which is down here about 6 inches further back, you know, you stack the bottles and maybe you'll have 10 deep. So when you get to the red, you only got 3 left. That means drop everything you're doing and go and handle this. It was amazing. Just that little learning style helped the efficiency of that department immensely.
Right. And a visual way to see what needs to be done instead of just hoping that they fill the bottles. Yeah. That's key. You know, I think about this a lot, and I wonder if people are driving, listening to us, thinking, oh, I'm good. Especially for inspections, we have a list.
Yes.
And a checklist. And they do that every time. They do it in the app. They do it on paper, whatever. Everything's written there. They just check it off and it's great.
Yes, they do.
What's the problem with that one?
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, they can do the app in their vehicle. Even when you require them to take pictures, they can take a picture of their shoe. And so it's amazing. We had an inspector I think it was something like 8 houses they had to do. We saw him leave the building at 10:30 in the morning. We did not see him come back to the building at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, that's great. JoJo was really busy today. He did a super job. Look, all of his inspections are done. Oh, wait a minute. He did them all at 4:45. He did 8 inspections in 5 minutes. It's like click, 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 click. We're pretty sure he was surfing for 6 hours.
Oh, sweet. I mean, that's the thing. A checklist doesn't really mean anything unless you actually do it. You know, I'm renting my house in Arizona, right?
I've heard. Yes.
And such an amazing experience. Casago, who we're using, I can't believe they do this because it seems so labor intensive, but I get an email every time one of their employees goes into my property, and it lists all the photos they took of my property, and it shows the contents of what's in every drawer.
Goodness.
I know. Talk about accountability.
We're going to be editing part of this podcast. My owners may not listen to that section.
Nor will mine.
That is some petty stuff there.
Yeah. The main point of this is don't set it and forget it. Let employees know you will be checking on the consistency from time to time, and that them falling off the consistency wagon is not going to be acceptable at your company. That's the biggest thing. Don't assume it's going well out there, everybody.
Well, we've given you a lot of points today. I hope you know the number one point is change is not easy. And so it better be worthwhile. You better have some employee buy-in and some champions out there helping you with this on your support team. Communicate very well and make sure you set those goals and follow through to make sure it's happening.
And make sure that everyone knows the why. Get them excited about the big or small changes you're doing. When I say label every light in the property, not everyone understands why. And so you have to explain the why. These guests have never been to the property before. They're coming in for vacation. It might be dark. They don't know the home. This really helps them feel comfortable. I mean, even just that little aha is like, oh, okay, that's why she's having me do this tedious task, right?
Love it.
All right, Tim. So now that everybody's going to keep their staff accountable, roll out processes and procedures, and not have that nightmare that we've all experienced, let's talk about one more thing today and queue up our next podcast.
Mm-hmm. We could almost call it not so hot off the press, but definitely happening.
Oh, let's bring that back. It seems that 2021 was the year of acquisitions, and 2022 doesn't seem to be far off that as we get going. So we have a little summary of some highlights of who bought who in 2021. And we thought we'd go through that, which will help us tee up our episode that's coming next.
Yeah, we have a very special guest coming up next. It was a great year in 2021. Might be one of the best financial in the history of short-term vacation rentals. And there were a lot of acquisitions made kind of under the radar, if you will. But we counted 21 acquisitions that have been made in the past year.
Yeah, and these are just from our data sources. I'm sure there were more little companies getting bought up. But let's go over a few of them. Avant Stay, never met anybody from there, but they acquired a large portfolio of homes, and they seem to be really trying to grow in the United States.
CasaGo, you've heard of them. They acquired Nikori Audiences this year.
Yeah, and that's a company that I believe does owner acquisition, high tech for owner acquisition. So curious about that.
Well, they got you, so it worked.
Yeah, I guess so. They didn't have to try very hard to get me. let's see. Current Tides acquired Three Palms Vacation Rentals.
Guesty acquired MyVR and Your Porter.
Oh,
interesting.
That is. My grandfather's name was Porter, and he hated it because I think it meant like he was a servant back then. Mm-hmm. All right. Key Data acquired Demand IQ.
That is some cool stuff. It's pretty high tech, way over my head. Light Bay Capital acquired Village Realty, and they are on the move for more, I think, as well.
And I've heard of Exceptional Stays. They got purchased by Nocturne Villa Rentals. So look up Nocturne Villa Rentals. What are they all about? I got to look into that.
Mm-hmm. And then Town Vacations, that's a division of Town Bank in Suffolk, Virginia. And they have been in this business before, and they acquired Venture Resorts this past year.
Okay, and then a company I don't know if anybody's heard of called Vacasa. They acquired one very big company, Turnkey VR, over 6,000 properties, or they call them units. So for their case, I will call them units. And if you haven't been listening long, I hate the word unit. And then they also acquired Seabreeze Vacation Rentals, Latitude 38, Outer Beaches Realty, NRT Vacation Rentals, Vantage Vacation Rentals, and Slopeside Okemo.
And then hot off the press, literally in the last few days, they acquired two more companies in my actual market in Virginia Beach. They just acquired Sandbridge Realty and Beach Pros Realty. So they bought two in the same market. I guess it doesn't count for last year because it's 2022, but they're still buying. And that leaves us with the king of vacation rentals. Our own friend Steve Milo, he had a big year as well. He acquired Resort Collection, which was 800 properties. And the one that really made big news was the TaylorMade Deep Creek Vacations in Rice and Vacation Rentals as well at the end of the year. So that's 460 and another 240. So Steve's got a lot of properties he manages.
Yeah. And he also acquired Distinctive Beach Realties and Resort Property Management.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
One that we haven't listed is Robin Cragen, my buddy in Steamboat. He bought a company in Brack.
So a big year for acquisitions, and I'm not sure we made that prediction for 2022, but I expect it will continue to be a big year for acquisitions. And so we will ask our next guest about that, who may have some insight on that. But this was certainly fun to do. We always like holding the mirror up and bearing our soul, so to speak, telling you our mistakes, because we know you share them with us. And so we hope you get something out of this.
Let us know if you do. We love to hear from you on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all the good stuff. And until next time, we're not going to tell you who that exciting guest is, but be sure to tune in again in 2 weeks.
Hey, Sarah, before I say so long, we got a call from one of our listeners. Michael James from Paradise Beach Rentals chimes in, and he had a little comment on one of your predictions for next year.
Hey, Sarah and team, Michael James, Paradise Beach Rentals, just driving around here on 30A in between properties, listening to your latest podcast. Congratulations on 5 seasons, and just listening to all your predictions for next year. And my only comment is for Sarah, God save the queen.
And that puts a wrap on another episode of Sarah and T, the Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Music is provided by Ben Sound. Sarah and T invite you to join them for their next episode. But in the meantime, they encourage you to stay in touch through their website, sarahandt.com, social media channels, or give them a call at 336-612-1612. They love to hear from listeners giving them feedback on what you just heard or providing ideas for future episodes. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sarah and T.